Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, sir. First of all, I want to thank everyone who got here early to help clean the Zendo. You've probably heard before, you've probably read, there is no difference between cleaning the Zendo and doing Zazen other than in your mind. So just the act of coming here and cleaning the space, shaking out the cushions, sweeping the floor, mopping, it's all Zazen. It's all an opportunity to be present right now. The other thing is, I think it was Marge, but somebody noticed the how different it feels when the Zendo is clean. And since we're working with our minds, there are a lot of these subtle things that actually help us to sit, to settle our minds. And having a clean and orderly space is very important. It's like the rituals that we do, you know. The routine is when you get to the threshold of the Zendo, put your hands in Gassho and you bow. And you put your hands in Shashu. Walk to your place, bend over, set your place up ready for sitting. Then stand and bow to your spot and turn and bow to the person across from you. And the person across from you exchanges that bow. Now, when everybody does that the same way, we're creating a climate that's conducive to paying attention, to being present. That uniformity is very important, creating a space that's conducive to stilling our minds. Just pay attention sometime. If one person comes in and does it one way, another person comes in and does it a slightly different way, just notice how your mind gets activated, cataloging the differences, noting the differences. It creates a disturbance. So it's not for anally retentive reasons that we do this. It's to create a climate, to create a space that's conducive to helping us still our minds. So again, thank you to everyone who contributed to making this space that way. Now, my process of writing talks is I do them during the week, usually during my lunch hours at work, because I have access to Google if I want to look something up. And then when I've typed it, reread it, typed it, and reread it, and I feel that it's ready to be used, I usually take it and put it in the door of my car so I don't forget it. Or I leave it in my rear left pocket. Well, there was a talk in my rear left pocket from the day that I typed it at work, but it wasn't the one that I wrote this week. Which means that it's a talk that I've already given, but I'm going to give it again anyway, because I have nothing else to offer. So this talk begins with a time that I went with a friend of mine to shop for a birthday present for her daughter. And she had a list of things that her daughter wanted, and that she had agreed her daughter could have. So she had the list. But my friend also had another birthday assignment from her daughter. And that was to, as her daughter said, "Surprise me, Mom." My friend's daughter wanted at least one surprise gift. And at the time, as I heard these prerequisites, it struck me that it was a wonderful example of how to approach Zen practice. There should be some direction to our sitting, a list, if you will, of how to sit, how to work with thoughts, what practice is all about, etc. But also, we should sit and wait to be surprised. Sitting without any gaining idea, without looking to attain something, without looking for something that we want, without knowing what will happen next. And around the same time that I went on this little shopping trip, I also happened to find on my bookshelf a book that I had bought many years ago, which was entitled, Wanting Enlightenment is a Big Mistake. And in the first chapter, there's an encounter between Sun San Nim, the Korean Zen master, who started the Providence Zen Center, and one of his students. And the student asks Sun San, what is enlightenment? And Sun San replied, enlightenment is only a name. So if we chase a name or an idea of what enlightenment is, it's very likely there will be no surprises. Most students of Zen come to practice wanting the big explosion, the big enchilada, wanting enlightenment. Many students have read accounts of enlightenment experiences of mystics and Zen masters. So it's only natural to hear about these things and to think, hey, I want that. The result of this approach can be that we sit with some idea of enlightenment, some experience that we have read or heard about, wanting to get this experience for ourselves. But this is looking for some birthday present we have asked for. If we sit this way, there will be no surprises. On the contrary, if we sit based on a desire for some preconceived experience, we will end up unhappy and discouraged. So what if enlightenment is not what we think it is? What if it's not some big whoop that's going to convert us into holy men or holy women, into mystics? Consider the words of the famous holy man, the famous Zen master Ryokan. The wind has settled, the blossoms have fallen. Birds sing, the mountains grow dark. This is the wondrous power of Zazen. Or the words of Pan Yong. My daily activities are not unusual. I'm just naturally in harmony with them. Grasping nothing, discarding nothing, simply drawing water and carrying firewood. To sit well, we must discard expectation and desire. We must allow ourselves to be surprised. We must wait and find out through direct experience, just like unwrapping a birthday present. In Zen, we say, we don't practice to become enlightened. We practice because we are already enlightened. And for most of us, this is a surprise. It's akin to saying, we don't wash the car because it's dirty. We wash the car because underneath the dirt, it's clean. This is a subtly different perspective. We are not washing the car to gain cleanliness. We are washing the car to reveal its original clean state. It's a surprising way to look at washing the car. The commentary to koan number 7, Joshu washes his bowls, which is in the Mumon Kan, or the Gateless Gate, states, it is too clear, and so it is hard to see. A dunce once searched for fire with a lighted lantern. Had he known what fire was, he could have cooked his rice much sooner.